que cumples plans. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Oh, somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, sir.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
And, blessings from Laramie. Beautiful day today. A little windy, but in the 40s, and we'll take it. We know that spring is in the air. It's going to be here before we know it. The time changes this weekend. We spring forward an hour, so that we know the days are getting longer and doing well. So, well, man, we know we've got a looking forward to the program tonight, and I'll sure let you know when the callers call in.
All right, appreciate it, sir. And we do welcome everybody to Hope is Alive, the show about testimony. What is that testimony? Those who have been set free from oppressive spirits, diseases, healings, and all kinds of things, all done in the name of the Lord Jesus, performed by simple Christians, you, me, Pastor, everybody that's out there. If you have any questions about deliverance, feel free to call the office. I'm sorry, feel free to go to the website at deliveranceusa.com, or if you want the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, call Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let them know you'd like to have that book. It's an excellent book the pastor's written, and it'll help you just go a step-by-step guide through taking yourself through deliverance or taking someone else. Pastor, good evening. Good to be back.
Yes, it always is, Ralph. It's always exciting to get together and hear testimonies. I'm always on a high when I hear what the Lord is doing in people's lives. especially in this area of deliverance and physical healings, casting out of evil spirits. So many years went by, I never knew all this existed, but once I saw it, that was 42 years ago, I just want to keep seeing it over and over. Amen.
Amen. Now, I was reading from Philippians this evening, and Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regarding one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others, having this attitude in yourself, with yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus." And as I read that, I thought about the ministry of deliverance, and that's what's so important about deliverance is having that humility when you're dealing with other people, not looking at them with judgment, not looking at them with conceit or contempt, but to humble yourself and do these simple works that Jesus told us to do, and to help set people free. And that's just a real important part of the ministry, is to not be concerned at what they have done, but how to set them free so they don't do it again.
Yes, and I'm so humbled that the Lord would use little me to do something like this. It's very humbling, and on top of that, it's even more humbling when we have somebody tell us that the Lord gave them the phone number to call, or gave them the name of Deliverance in Oklahoma. That puts the responsibility on our shoulders at Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City that we'd better be doing a good job if he's sending them to us. And that's a humbling thing to realize we have that responsibility on our shoulders. And that's why we're always trying to get the steps down well with the teams and all, and stay on top of it, to have a warrior group, special ops, if you will, in the body of Christ, ministering to the church at large.
And it is humbling. I sit back and I think about that. You mean, you told that testimony often, where someone was just praying for the Lord to help them, and they give them a phone number. And you know how silly that would seem to the world. And, you know, it would even take a little bit of faith. Well, actually, quite a bit of faith is, "You want me to call this number, Lord?" They have no idea what that number is to call it. And I even think of the time several years ago when a lady called me. She'd been sitting on this curb in a town hundreds of miles from where I live, and said, "Lord, send me some help," and my business card blew up to her feet. And so these things do happen. It is supernatural. It's by no special works of myself or Pastor Cox. We're just vessels that are willing to do what the Bible commands other Christians to do. And also another thing is to give testimony, and that's why we come on here, to encourage. You know, it's often my prayer, Pastor, that before I go on, say, "Lord, first and foremost, let this show glorify you." That's what it does. It glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. But let these airwaves get to somebody, you know, whether it be they just tuned into the shortwave and they came across us on the internet. I mean, I've heard people, testimonies from other people. That's how they found Pastor Peters. They were told to buy a shortwave radio and was basically given the channel to tune in. And that's how they discovered Pastor Peters many years ago. And so if he can give a phone number or that kind of instruction, the Holy Spirit certainly give the instruction to someone to hear the testimonies that need to be heard tonight. But Pastor, why don't you give us a briefing of what happened this Monday?
We had a big Monday. There were 15 people from all over, which is typical. We had 36 years of doing the same thing, and different people coming every Monday night. Sometimes there'll be people coming back for more ministry that didn't receive all that they needed, so they come back. But the bulk of them, certainly 80% of them, that come on a Monday night, it's the first time. When they come through the door, I ask them if they've been here before, and they say no. Well, here's how we do it, and I give them the clipboard with a problem list to circle the problems that they feel are tormenting them and that they'd like to see gone, and then just hold on to all that until we get a minister with them later. But, yeah, it was a great evening. I had a tough case, though. You know, we all have different cases, and some are easier, some are tougher. I didn't get through with the person I was ministering to, which is quite unusual. It was actually his third time to come, and he was hearing these voices, but I couldn't get the head demon up to interrogate what was going on. I couldn't get it to identify itself as I do normally in every case where I get the head demon up. It was a really weird case, so we're not through with him yet. I've already had one of the other ministers call him that discerns real well in the word of knowledge, see if we suspect that there's something in his house that are giving legal rights to the spirits, something on witchcraft or some object that has a curse on it, or there's some unforgiveness that he somehow has overlooked. Anyway, we'll go from here, but certainly we help 90-95% of the people that come. Every now and then there'll be someone we can't get to the goal line, but what drives us on is the majority that do get help, and that keeps us at it.
Praise the Lord. You know, and it could easily be something like that in the building. I know with going through deliverance with my mother, my mama, some time back, she was getting victory in her own personal life, but seemed to have a destructive spirit upon her business. And one year at the Branson Gathering, myself and about five or six other men went to the business itself, and we found quite a bit of stuff attached to the building. And when we were able to get to those root causes, that some had been there, it was attached to the property from years ago, even to the 1800s, and we were able to get that destructive, destroying spirit out of there. And it was like it was almost a turnaround. Even customers would come in and say, "Well, there's something different about this about here. Well, what do you guys do? What do you guys do?" So they could even feel the spirit change in there. So, and that's actually addressed in your book, and it's online. I can't remember what the name of the chapter is or what the title of it's called, but you can actually clean houses out and clean properties. Is it terraforming for Jesus or something like that? I can't remember how it's worded, Pastor, but that's actually what we had used, was those step-by-steps to get to
the spot. Yes, chapter 19 on page 126, exercising homes, buildings, or land. And often that has to be done. Some people, of course, are actually seeing things, dark forms, things moving in their house, doors slamming, bed shaking, physically being touched or sexually even touched. So they need something. They need a clean out for sure of their house, and perhaps even the person themselves needs deliverance. More than likely, if they haven't had it, they do. We find the majority of Christians, you know, will have about three dozen spirits tormenting them. Not that they're in their spirit man, I mean in their spirit that's born again, but they're hanging out in the body area and tormenting the mind, will, emotions. So quite common. It's a lot more common than I ever thought until I got into all this and started seeing the reality of it over these 42 years.
Well, those are common things that that people do see. About everything you just described, I'd experienced at one time or another growing up, and I can remember shadowy figures. I was experiencing shadowy figures up until 2015, all through my life. And one thing that comes really to my mind was being 19 years old, and I woke up, I don't remember what time of night it was, I woke up to three shadow figures all wearing cloaks. The best I could describe it was like you see druids in. And they were over me, and I remember them saying, "We've come for you, Ralph." And, I screamed, jumped up.
Yeah.
And it was quite a while. It was quite a while before I would, go to sleep again. And, I mean, it was several days I could sleep, yeah. And as far as the bed shaking, I've had that. I remember that happening when I was around anywhere. I don't remember quite the age, but anywhere from 11 to 9 to 11, somewhere around that time. And of course, this is all my testimony. I talk about this extensively. Which, if you're interested in hearing that testimony, go to the archives, Hope is Live archives, and scroll down to 12, 14, 16. I got lucky, and we didn't do it on purpose, but I got lucky to have a number that was easy to remember. So 12, 14, 16. And actually, I think about that, Pastor. That seems like a long time ago. We've been given a lot of testimonies.
Yes, well, that's true. And, of course, when something's going on in a house, I tell people, if they can't remember anything else, just start saying the name of Jesus over and over.
Yes.
That's the minimum, and then better would be to say, in Jesus' name, go.
Yep. Yes. In fact, I used to suffer from sleep paralysis, and that is a real thing out there. That is... if you just key in those words on the computer, and you will see people have suffered over it for years. Of course, some think it's a psychological problem, which I can assure you it's not. It was from spirits, because I could actually feel spirits holding my mouth shut, like an unseen hand over my mouth, trying to keep me from calling on the name of Jesus. And I would do that. It's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And sometimes it was muffled, but I would just continue to say it until I could break the hold that was upon me. So, Pastor, we have our first caller. Thank you for calling this evening.
Gail?
Hello. Yes. Hi,
yeah.
Everett.
Hi. Yes. Gail, thank you so much for calling in. Ralph's on here with me up in the Branson area. And I know you have a lot to share. You've had an interesting spiritual life thus far.
For sure.
Why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself first, and then when you were born again, how you learned about deliverance, and what your deliverance was like and changes, and then the experiences that you've had since then, and even about the ministry that you do today.
Okay, so actually I was raised in a Christian home, born again very young, I'd say four, filled with the Spirit at about six, walked with the Lord throughout my childhood, kind of teenage years, got a little off. My husband and I got married when I was 23, and we just determined together that, you know, we would follow the Lord, and so we pretty well laid aside everything and just sought the Lord for 2 years solid. We came from different backgrounds. He was raised Baptist. I was raised Assembly, so you could see some differences there. But we really both just wanted the Lord and wanted truth. And so we laid aside everything that we had been taught and just got into the Word of God for ourselves. And so I was exposed early on to deliverance. My mom and my dad and my aunt were missionaries, so they had been overseas a lot, talked a lot about work and deliverance that they had done. We actually had a home fellowship for years, and we prayed with people throughout that time, just seeing, you know, just praying for people for deliverance as well. So that's kind of where I got started. What brought me to deliverance ministry was that we actually take in children, have taken in a lot of children. We've adopted 16. So we have a whole house full of kids. We have a home for kids that age out of foster care as well. So we've seen pretty much that a lot of these children are dealing with some spiritual aspects that, you know, definitely needed deliverance from them. What brought me to deliverance ministry was I started talking with Richard. Was I had a young lady that was Native American, and we were really struggling with her. She had multiple personalities. Actually, we would wake up and she would be one person, one part of the day, and so she would pack up all of her stuff because she didn't like her clothes, and we'd put it away, and then she would, you know, go by another name, and it was really, really hard. And she started to the point where she was not sleeping. She went like 31 days and slept maybe 25 hours in 31 days. Total paranoia, schizophrenia. We were beside ourselves because we were praying. We were doing everything that we had knew to do, but nothing was changing. So I actually contacted Richard, and that's how we got started with you guys.
Yeah. So did she come for, did you bring her up for ministry, Gail?
Well, actually, my husband and I first came up, and we kind of set in on some of the ministries. And the first time I walked into one of your trainings, which is something that I think is awesome, first time I walked into one of the trainings, one of the ministers there, she came over and talked to you. I don't know if you remember this or not, but later I was actually placed in with her to observe with while she ministered, and she asked me later, she said, do you work with tribal kids? Do you work with Indians? And I said, yes. And she said, because when you came in, she said there was a shama that followed you, that was watching everything that you did. And so she said, you know, that you guys prayed and it was gone. And so we really just talked about the ancestry stuff that we were dealing with. And so later I brought the young lady in, and she did get some help. She prayed with her about altars, and today she's been stable for 3 years. She's doing very well. She has one personality. She's a sweetheart, and she loves Jesus. So we're just, it was a process and something that we kept going back over and closing doors and working with trauma, because actually some of the worst abuse cases I've ever seen was with her and her sister. So we know that the enemy can come in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough case. That's not your normal walk-in deliverance case where they have all that going on, but we certainly see them. And some of them take quite a number of ministry sessions. So did you say she did get her altered personalities integrated?
She did. I mean, she's just our girl now. So we gave her a new name, and she's good. I mean, she's doing really well, and she's real stable.
Okay.
And, you know, she's really a blessing in our family. And so we are so blessed by what God did.
Yeah.
In the training, you know, sitting in on the training that you guys offer has just been real instrumental in the moment, you know, dealing with these kids. Just knowing, like, well, for instance, I have a little girl that we got when she was a baby, and she was still having visits with her biological mom, but she didn't really know she was her mom because she lived with us. But there seemed to be, like, she would not call me mama, even though I'd had her since she was born. And it was really strange, and like whenever we would see her, which was very rarely, she just acted like she was really drawn to her, and which we think is natural, but it was really weird because she would not say mama, even though she could talk, she wouldn't do it. And after going to your training, you know, you taught on the soul ties, and I don't know if I really bought into them at that point until I set her on my lap, and I just said, in the name of Jesus, I sever every ungodly soul tie. And I just started praying over her, and she jumped off my lap, and she goes, Mommy! And she just ran around, and she changed. And we had one more visit with her biological mom, and she hid behind me and would not have anything to do with her mother. And that was the last visit she had, because her mom said she doesn't even know me, you know, and it's, she didn't want to see her anymore. And, you know, for her health, it was good for her, because it wasn't a godly soul tie. It was an ungodly one. And, you know, so that I'm a firm believer that there's those ties, having experienced that with her.
Well, praise God. And I might mention this, Gail, talking about multiple personalities or alter personalities. Those are not demons for the listeners that may not be familiar with them. They are actually protectors that's come in as a God-given mechanism to protect the child, typically when there's abuse going on, usually sexual abuse. We've seen it can be verbal abuse, and I remember one lady, she had alders that we ministered to, and as a child, her mother had locked her in a dark closet a lot. And the mechanism kicked in to protect her, to allow her to cope so she didn't go crazy. And the deal is, though, is that as the person grows up later, some of those alters can surface, like you were experiencing there in that case. And it becomes very confusing, and they need to be integrated back into the person. I have a chapter in my book on doing that, and we do have those right along that we can integrate. We usually do it after the deliverance. But the tip-off is usually sexual abuse that's gone on typically by someone in the family for years. And
yeah, it was actually her grandfather, and she was sexually abused, and her biological family. And so, you know, it was really interesting because the alters were at different ages, and I imagine that's when the different times, you know, in her life when she was being abused, because like one of them was very young and the other one was more teenage age, you know. And so it was very interesting just, you know, seeing that play out. I'm very grateful to have her back in one person, you know, and not, I mean, one of the alters was like a retarded person, so it was total different personality with a limp and everything. So, yeah, it was very strange.
It's amazing. But
yeah.
Praise God.
It's pretty crazy.
We can help people this way, and where their life can be straightened out and they can live a normal life.
Uh-huh.
You certainly have. Your challenge there was 16, and are there some other cases that you can share on that, Gail?
Yeah, we brought several people up there to you guys. I have done some personally after going through some of the training. I was actually, right after I had been through one of the trainings, we went to visit a friend of ours was really sick in the hospital, had a stroke, and we went to visit his wife, and she had suffered from some mental illness. And when I walked into the house, she looked at me and she basically said, "You don't think I'm going to hurt my baby, do you, or my son?" And I'm going, "Oh, okay, we're not good. I can't leave, you know." And I had your book, and I was feeling very, very naive in the whole situation, but I felt like it was definitely something that I needed to walk her through. And so I sat down, and I started doing deliverance with her, and I actually just called the head demon right up, and which was freaky to me because I had never done it. and you know, I called the head demon up, and this demon said his name was Lust. Her name was Lust, and she reached over and grabbed my leg, like, to rub it, and it just freaked me plumb out. But anyway,
yeah.
We ended up, by the time we were through, what was interesting is every time I would come, that spirit would say that she needed to go to the bathroom, and I would command it to sit down and stay, you know, and put the angels around them, like,
yeah.
Teach. And she tried that three different times, and every time she'd go back and sit down. And then I told her, and then by the time we were done, she, you know, she came back, she was back up, and she said, I said, "Well, you can go to the bathroom." And she looked at me and she said, "I don't need to go to the bathroom," you know, but that whole time it was just that spirit that was moving, and she really got some
yes.
major deliverance, and she's been good. I mean, she's been good for a long time now. Another guy that we prayed with, a friend of mine called, and her brother was an alcoholic, and we went over and prayed with him, and he's been leading the sober living house for 3 years since then. He's been clean since that day, so it's been kind of an exciting ride. We brought some people up to you guys from Ohio, and a young man got healed of a neck condition and set free from a drug addiction, and he's still doing very well today. So we're always having lots of situations with the kiddos, praying over them, and, you know, on a daily basis, just, you know, realizing that our weapons are not carnal. You know, they're mighty to the pulling down of every stronghold, and that we've been given all that power, like in Luke 10:19, that we've been given that power, and realizing that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And, yeah, you know, we've been working with these kids a long time, and I talked to somebody the other day, and they're kind of like, well, what do you guys do? And I think if you leave this component out, you really have lost the majority of, you know, help that we can give them.
How else can you help them, Gail? I mean, if they've got
demons. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean,
you can
I guess you can try to train behaviors, but when somebody's really, you know, being moved by a demon, you know, how can you do something? We had a situation recently where the Lord just moved on us to cast a demon out, and night and day difference, you know. So it's an ongoing process around here for sure. We have plenty to pray about.
Well, praise God, Gail, that you've got the tools that you have to deal with those. Because, and you know, the group you've got there is just typical of other groups all around us. And most people don't have any idea how to do what you're doing. And Gail, for the listeners, Gail is not here in Oklahoma City. She's what, about an hour southeast in Ada, Oklahoma?
Well, it's 2 hours. Yeah, we're two hours away, so
uh-huh.
It's definitely worth your trip up there. I think one of the things that most people don't think about, you know, I remember being very apprehensive when we went up there thinking it would be totally weird. But, I mean, I've been around Deliverance my whole life, so I wasn't too worried about it. But I took my son-in-law, and he was kind of a negative, you know, not negative, but kind of didn't know because he had never been around it. And he was, I mean, he literally was very touched he was in a group Deliverance because there were so many people there, but he was very touched and very moved and really seeing the Lord through the whole process. And, you know, so if you're not extremely charismatic, because most people think it's just real drama, but it's not. It's very orderly, and I don't know, that just seemed to help, you know, just help him. I kept saying it's not weird, you know, and it seemed to help him a lot.
Yes, yeah, well, you know, a lot of people have seen some of the movies and exorcisms on TV and all, and of course the reason they show them is because they're spectacular. And a lot of those ministries out there, we've noticed, do not do all the steps that we do. They don't even have a door-closing prayer, has been our observation. They don't, some of them don't do the breaking of ungodly soul ties or dealing with the trauma doors. They just figure out the likely names of the demons and attack. And that's the way we started out. That's how I started 42 years ago. But over these years, we've kept our eyes open and observing other ministries and learning as we've gone along. And we've got these steps down now. They're in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, that can be ordered through Scriptures for America here. And so those steps are time-proven. That's what we do every Monday night. We did 738 cases last year, which is typical of most years. Those are the ones we had recorded. Of course, we're all doing some out there and some in my office. I don't record them, you know, so it's actually higher than that. Plus, the ministers that have learned how to do this, we don't have recordings on them either, so just like yourself. You know, you're out there doing it. We don't have any records on those, of course. So I guess we're making a dent on the enemy. Amen.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I don't know if you remember that I brought a young lady in to your office that had an eating disorder. And it was, she was so bad that she had a feeding tube in. And I had prayed with her, but it was really when we first started the training, and I was just like out of desperation. We were praying over her, and when I started trying to cast the demon, just death out of her, she totally turned gray and looked like she had died. I thought she had died, and it wouldn't go. And so we ended up bringing her up there to you guys, and come to find, you know, she hadn't done all the steps she needed to do to be ready, you know, and she did get some help, and I think she's been fine for, it's been a couple of years, probably 2 or 3 years ago. So, you know, all of these things. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, is like a lot of these kids that we deal with have come from foreign countries, and, you know, a lot of their heritage is demonic, just where they come from, even. And so we deal with a lot of just those heritage, like the tribe Indian stuff, or the African or Haitian too. We've been dealing with the Haitian stuff one of the girls that we have now. And
praise God,
I know my aunt years ago had a young man that she was ministering to that was from Iceland and had some of those Icelandic, you know, gods that were taking him over. And so we definitely believe that they're, you know, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, and people don't realize what they're dealing with when they are dealing
Gail,
with a person that's having these issues.
Gail, we're out of time, but thank you so much for your ministry and what you do down there, and the many, many young people that you're setting free in Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Gail. God bless you.
Yes,
well,
thank you, Gail, for
helping us know what to do. So we appreciate you guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, that's awesome that she works with those children. And when children come, you know, whether it be from a broken home or like she described with the one girl and her mama, that there's going to be things attached to those soul ties. And the enemy will take advantage of it. So that's just awesome. She's doing that because she's raising a generation with a good Jesus overhaul. So, Pastor, we have our next caller. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Donald, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hi, Donald. Thank you. Ralph is on here with me, a co-host. He's up in the Branson area. But thanks so much for calling in. So why don't you go ahead and just give that history on yourself and when you were born again, now you learned about deliverance, and I sent you the kind of an outline, so go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, my name is Donald. I'm 34 years old. I come from a family that divorced. I had a really rough childhood, and I met my wife my senior year. We've been together 16 years, and we were having some struggles that it just seemed like we shouldn't be having. And my brother-in-law had came to the deliverance over some issues, and it saved his marriage and helped him through a lot of hard times. And my wife had went. And I could notice the change in my life, and ultimately, I wanted that. So I decided to come, and it was something like I never experienced before. And when I got there, you know, I was a little skeptical, like most people are. It's hard to believe in some things you can't see, even when you're a Christian. And but I could feel as the prayers were going on, as the deliverance was going on, I could feel myself getting lighter, I was burping, I was coughing, and I could just feel, I felt cleaner on the inside. And I could feel like, you know, I don't know if it's different for everybody, but I was itching a lot. My hands felt smaller, I felt lighter. And throughout the deliverance, and then it was just an amazing experience. And I guess when you go through that, there's just, when you can feel the difference, you can't deny it. And I used to cuss a lot. I was pretty perverted type person, like a lot of men are today. And, you know, I didn't care about others as much as I probably should have, claiming to be a Christian. And one thing I noticed immediately is it wasn't even hard not to cuss at all. When I left there and cussed, I haven't been lustful. I haven't had any perverse actions. My house feels safer, that I've prayed over the house after that. It's really changed me and my wife's marriage, because we were fixing to go through a divorce. And now we're working things out. My kids are calmer. It's healthier for the kids. And you know, I left this out, but before I came, I'm a transplant patient. I got a kidney 9 years ago from my youth pastor. I spent about 4 years on dialysis prior to that, and I just became a bitter person. And before I came to the deliverance, my transplant site was hurting, and my appointment was just this last Monday. So I went the Monday before my transplant appointment, and I was nervous. I thought, you know, maybe my transplanted kidney was shutting down. You know, pain over the transplant site is a real big sign you're having issues with your kidney. And I went to the deliverance. After I left there, my transplant site quit hurting. I was still nervous. But then when I went to my transplant appointment, my doctor walked in. After he looked at my labs, my transplant doctor said, you know, I feel like you're just here to waste my time. He said, your kidney is working. It couldn't work any better. It's perfect. Hallelujah. If it continues on this path, your transplanted kidney will last you the rest of your life.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard when you're raised. I was sick my whole life growing up. I was in and out of the hospital, doctors, because they don't have a cure. They don't have artificial kidneys. And it's been a tremendous burden on me. And now the things that I would worry about and I was stressed about, they're gone. I've gave them to God. I've gave them to Jesus. I'm able to, you know, think more, like, freely. I'm able to focus on my job. There's just a lot of things in my life have changed, and they're continuing to change. And in return, I'd like to be a deliverance minister myself and help people.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people
Praise
who...
God.
Who are just like me.
Yes. And they're all around us, of course. You know many right off, like all of us do, that need this kind of ministry. But most people, they don't know there's anything like this that could give them an overhaul in their life, where they can live life abundant, as Jesus said we're to have. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then we got all these generational curses coming down through us, to us, even right at birth, and the related spirits that go with those curses. So it's all around us, and yeah, that's exciting. I was visiting with you Monday night about going through the training, and I know you'll really enjoy it. It's so exciting to learn this. I just praise God over and over. I've said this so many times, but I just praise God over and over that somebody shared with me on this. I could have missed it all so easily. And it's the same situation with you. I'm sure you could have missed it very easily had somebody not somehow mentioned it. And you rose to it.
Yeah, and you know, TV portrays deliverance is a lot different, you know, than what it really is. It was a peaceful thing. It's something to not be scared of, which I was scared of it. And
yeah.
I learned so much. It's a peaceful thing. I learned that, you know, I don't know if there's anybody walking the earth today that doesn't have a generational demon or an evil spirit or something going on with them that can be delivered. I mean, there's nothing to lose. And I realized is you guys need as many people as you can to help it, because there's multitudes of people that need this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more people that would help and be part of it, the more people the ministry could reach, and the happier people could be. And it's just, there's a peace over me that I've never felt my whole life. And I don't want to give that up. It's the closest I've ever felt to Jesus and God.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went to church my whole life, and I've never felt this close. So, I mean, even Christians that have a daily walk with Jesus, that read their Bible, can literally be tormented in secret, or just their problems that arise, a lot of it can be taken care of. And they can move on with their lives. And I mean, words can't explain everything that I've been through just since I've been to the deliverance, and just how much more at peace I am. It just means so much to me that there's people out there that do that, and I don't know how to explain it.
Are people around you noticing you look different?
They are. People notice that I'm not angry no more. Two or three people said that they don't even feel like they're talking to the same person. And that's me not bringing nothing up to them. Them not knowing I've been to a deliverance or anything. They just notice, hey, you know, you don't seem like the same person. And, you know, one of the people is a deacon at a church that it's down the road here from me, you know, and so it means a lot that people can notice it and it being unsaid. That just verifies what I went through.
Yeah, you'll have to share your testimony with our mutual friend we were talking about Monday night, Paul, and maybe that would find. That would be a good thing to share with him.
Yeah,
but they're all around.
I plan on it
like this.
I see him all the time when he's out at the ranch, and it's a blessing. I feel like me and my wife, all the fighting and everything we've done all these years, we've managed to stay together, but we've never had a peace like this in our marriage or our life, and it's just. I mean,
that's so
it's something
awesome.
That, why wouldn't somebody want this?
Well, they don't know they need it. The churches don't talk about it, and people aren't typically doing it. That's why we're on this show tonight, is sharing testimonies, trying to get the word out that this is available to Christians so they can start, they can become the real self, without the influence of several dozen demonic entities, and start living life abundant. So I've been at it now these 42 years, and when I first got into this, I wondered why everybody wasn't doing it. And what's strange about that is that 42 years later, I'm still wondering it. We got a long ways to go to tell it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I just kind of thought it was just how life was, and it was bad luck. And I'm not a weirdo. Like, I run a private deer hunting ranch. We live out in the country. I've got four kids. I mean, I'm a normal, average guy that lives a normal life. That was just, it was hindered by things from my past, things from my parents, things from my ancestors, and I feel free. And the guy that delivered me, you know, when I saw him, I was like, he's way younger than me. I'm like, no way. You know, it was nothing like I expected, but I got more than I ever could have asked for out of it.
And the interesting thing about that, Donald, the person that ministered to you is brand new at this. He's only been helping us a few months. So he's really new at it, and yet look what he was able to do with you.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just, it's amazing. It's something anybody can do that wants to help people and that really wants to be a warrior for Jesus. It's like the Bible coming to life. It's like you're able to do something that you only hear about. And I want in on it. You know, I want to help as many people as I can. I don't want to stand by the wayside and watch people destroy themselves, not knowing what's really going on. When everybody has the opportunity to be free.
Yes, Donald, think how many you can help in your lifetime. Yeah.
Exactly. It's free. There's nothing to lose. There's only things to gain.
I've often said that I wonder why people aren't backed out on the street on Monday night saying, "Let me in," if they ever knew what a good deal this was. and it doesn't even cost anything. And hopefully they'll help us with some donations so we can keep paying our way. But if people ever really found out, they'd be backed out on the street and saying, "Let me in the door." You know,
that's right. If people really knew what Jesus was capable of, and what they're capable of, everybody would want this. If they knew it was really in reach, you guys would be there nonstop helping people.
Yes.
But things have surrounded these as kind of false things that don't really exist. When it's the spiritual world is as real as the physical world that we're walking in, and I know that now.
Yes, you got it. Yeah, well, as you learn to do this, Donald, think what you can do even in western Oklahoma where you're located there with the ranch and the area around it.
Yeah, and I just I want to share it with everybody. I want to help people that I can help. There's a lot
Something
of hurting people
amazing.
In the world, and we're not doing our job if we're just standing by letting them hurt when we could offer them help.
Yes. Yeah, there's... Well, praise God, you're on your way. Well, in a couple of minutes left here, what else would you say to the listeners, Donald, about all this?
I would say that there's nothing to lose and everything to gain. And no matter how hard your life is, no matter the drug addictions, no matter the fighting with your wives, the divorces, it can all be taken care of. And Jesus can set you free. And sometimes people are so down that you just think it could never get better. And that's where I was at. And now, I don't ever want to go back. It's been a life-changing event for me, and I really appreciate the young man that ministered to me, and I appreciate you guys' time, and I just can't explain all the stuff that's happened. I've been able to let it go, forgive it, and move forward. And I never thought it was possible. And everybody,
praise God.
Everybody should try it.
Well, thank you, Donald. That was an awesome testimony. That has to encourage the listeners about this works of Jesus that he told us all to do, and to help them, and so they can live their lives in the abundant way. God bless you, Donald. Thanks again for calling
in. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Donald. Great.
Thank you for listening to me, guys, and thank you for everything that you've done for me and helped me with.
You're welcome.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Sir. Bye.
Have a good evening. Praise the Lord. That's just awesome. That is
everything experienced
from even the kidney transplant, the pain there, and all that healing. And I'm like,
oh,
doctor, well, I think you're just here wasting my time. that's what I like to hear every doctor say when somebody gets prayed over. So praise the Lord. The testimony itself is when people can notice a difference in you. So like he said, he could see the difference in his wife, and he's like, well, I want some of that. And he said people see the difference in himself. And I have people that will come to me and say, I see that change in you, or you're not like, you're not like I remember, and things like that. And I give all the glory to Jesus Christ and the works of deliverance, and that part of the ministry was there for me. So, and you can have that too. You don't have to go to Oklahoma City. You can do it by going through the internet, deliveranceusa.com. Or self-deliverance through using the book, doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Or, we do have men across this country that have come out and been trained and are willing to help those. So if they have a need, and you can get a hold of Richard, get a hold of us through the info@deliveranceusa.com. If we have people nearby, we will certainly do our best to help you. We've got a few months away. I guess we have another Branson gathering. I haven't heard the official announcement, but if we do, we'll have men trained there for that as well. So we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. It's always a blessing to come on here. Blessing to be with you again, Pastor. And we'll see you next week. God bless.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.